An adult charged after a gun is brought inside a Raleigh elementary school. How school officials found the weapon and the penalty the student who brought it may be facing.
Recognize this building? It used to be a Kroger. Now it's part of a trend sweeping Raleigh, converting existing spaces into new life and health sciences facilities.
This cold front is set to bring us changes we will feel. Who's under a level one storm risk this evening and when the chance for rain will end? And how long the coast will be dealing with a rip current threat from Lee?
You are looking live over Wake County from the WRAL Tall Tower Cam. You can see some dark clouds over the area tonight.
Yeah, that is because of this. Taking a live look at the radar shows storms passing through our area tonight and another line of them on the way. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Strong winds and lightning are possible heading into the evening. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Will the thunder stop before bedtime, or is this going to be an all-night thing, Kat?
I don't think it will end before the kids go to bed. After midnight, that threat goes down a bit. But if you've got kids that are scared of thunder, they may be awake a little late tonight with a few rumbles left over. We are seeing rain pass through Raleigh right now, moving toward downtown and North Raleigh. We've got some rain about to hit Durham that just cleared out of Chapel Hill. And there's a lot more where this is coming from. We have some spotty showers in Moore County, but more of a line forming to our west. And that line's packing a punch. There have been flash flood warnings, severe thunderstorm warnings. So here's an estimate on when it could arrive where you live. Between about 8:30 and 9 o'clock in Chapel Hill, just before 9 o'clock in Durham, Apex, Cary, just before about 10 o'clock, so it would be 9:30 to 10, and for Raleigh around 10, maybe 10:15 this evening. It's later this evening and tonight. They're pretty slow-moving storms, so we keep in about a 50% chance of some of these scattered storms through midnight. After midnight, there remains a 30% chance as the cold front sits pretty much stationary overhead tonight and tomorrow, and there is still a low-end threat that one of those storms could be strong to severe. Hurricane Lee still up. Powerful Category 3 hurricane. It will pass just west of Bermuda, about 500 miles off our coast, with impacts toward Nova Scotia, potentially a direct hit over the weekend as a Cat 1 hurricane or strong tropical storm, though the New England area will see some rain and some gusty winds. For us, coastal flooding, beach erosion will be the main threats at the North Carolina coast, but the threat for rip currents is going to be high all the way through the weekend. With it being off season, there may not be lifeguards, so please take heed to these warnings of the rip current threat. I'll have more on the cold front coming up.
A great advice, Kat. Thank you. At least one person faces a felony charge after a student brought a gun to an elementary school in Raleigh today. WRAL's Aaron Thomas joins us live from Liddell Mine Elementary. A 30-year-old suspect. What do we know about her, Aaron?
Yeah, that's correct. So we know from investigators her name is Princess Pittman. What's unclear at this point is the connection between her, the relationship between her and the student accused of bringing that gun here at Leadmine Elementary School today. Now, in a letter to families, the principal here at Leadmine Elementary School ensured these families that no one was hurt. And rather than causing harm to other students, the child actually brought the gun to show it off to other classmates. School administrators immediately confiscated it. Investigators have not said if the gun brought to this campus today was loaded. A parent I spoke with says that he's thankful no one was hurt, but feels uneasy about the gun being found where his second grader attends school.
That was my most initial reaction, was how did he get it? Good thing he didn't have any bad intentions with it, but again, that's how does it get in his hands?
And this story has a lot of moving parts. It's something we're going to be following on our late news. So beginning at 10 on Fox 50, we're going to take a deeper dive in the area schools where guns were reported on campus just this year and a local group that's promoting the importance of gun safety storage. Ashley?
Aaron Thomas, live outside Leadmine Elementary. Thank you.
These five former Memphis police officers charged with the murder of Tyre Nichols are now facing federal charges. That news just came down just a little while ago. The video of the attack, you may recall, went viral after the officers are seen violently beating Nichols during a January 7th traffic stop. Nichols would later die from his injuries. Nichols' family attorney, Bim Crump, had this to say about the officers being charged federally.
How many more hashtags, how many more black people have to die unnecessarily before we say that America, we need police reform?
Nichols' family members were right there with Ben Crump, attorney Ben Crump, that is. We're also told these five officers will be in court this Friday.
Julian, thank you. A Raleigh driver faces a felony charge after police say he hit a pedestrian on Glenwood Avenue last night. Today, officers arrested 24-year-old Quante Benton, charging him with hit and run. The WRAL breaking news tracker got this video from the scene just before 10:30 last night. Police say Benton hit the pedestrian in a red pickup truck. At last check, that person is in the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
A former Wake County music teacher convicted of rape and sexual assault of a child has taken his case to the state Supreme Court. Troy Pickens pleaded not guilty to the charges in 2019 and asked for a trial by jury. The judge sentenced him to three consecutive terms of 25 to 35 years each. The state court of appeals ruled that the convictions stand, but that he be resentenced. Pickens is appealing that ruling today at the state Supreme Court. The Chapel Hill Police Department could be moving its headquarters. Town Council will discuss that idea tomorrow. The department says the current building is in pretty bad shape. The town manager recommends leasing a different space while council considers a more permanent fix. They could set up shop for a little while in this area here, the former site of Blue Cross Blue Shield on Fordham Boulevard. The lease would cost $1.5 million a year. WRAL has reported for years on the issues with the current police headquarters on MLK Boulevard. There are environmental concerns there because coal ash is buried on the property. Council won't vote just yet. Tomorrow is just a discussion about this. If it is eventually approved, though, town staff thinks it would take about a year to move.
A man convicted in a high-profile case in Johnston County in the 90s has died. This is video from 1992 when Smithfield police arrested Johnny Ray Daughtry. A jury sentenced him to death for raping and murdering his ex-girlfriend Jennifer Naren in her backyard. Daughtry died of natural causes at a Raleigh hospital on Monday. The state hasn't carried out an execution since 2006.
A new answers tonight about a months-long WRAL investigation into lead found in Durham Parks. The latest research now, a paper from those Duke experts, shows where the lead came from. Three of the five parks are located on old waste incinerator sites. A fourth was near a waste incinerator site, and a fifth had ash brought from a site for infill. Professor Dan Richter says this is not just a Durham issue.
This is a story of perhaps half the cities in the United States and Canada that burn city waste for decades, many of which are unaware at this moment, in our estimation, of what those places became.
Richter says he hopes soil mapping from around the country will be funded, since the lead and the ash from these incinerator sites poses a risk to human and environmental health. In Durham, the contaminated areas are still fenced off right now. The city says it's working with the state on this issue. A new trend is sweeping commercial real estate. You take an old grocery store or an old big retailer, and then you fill it with something new. In this case, the abandoned Kroger in Raleigh. The life sciences company will move in. WRAL's Shelly Jackson found out what they do and the plan they have for the big box conversion.
To build a facility of this size from the ground up, it would take about 3 years and a lot of money. But by just renovating the existing space, Targan moved in just 14 months.
It was the right size. It was the right place for everybody to be from a geographical point of view.
Ramin Karimpour started Targan in 2015.
So this is a technology company focused on biological improvement in the life of animals and the growth of the animals, starting with poultry.
Two, three.
Converting empty big box retail stores like this old Kroger on Six Forks Road into health and life sciences facilities is hot right now. Lee Clyburn, executive vice president with CBRE, a commercial real estate firm, says there are more than 600 life science companies in the region, with the triangle in the top five cities for these big box conversions.
A lot of these folks are in a hurry. They just don't want to wait for new construction, or their customers demand that they get a building open more quickly. And so That pressure to get a building open quickly in a market like the Triangle is what's driving a lot of this demand.
According to a report from Cushman & Wakefield, direct rental rates in the second quarter increased more than 6%, an all-time high for the life sciences market. The old Kmart in Garner is now an I and Q, and a former Sam's Club in Morrisville redeveloped into a hub for high-tech companies. and the trend is just beginning.
We are certainly on everybody's radar. Every major company and every investor wants to be a part of this community.
Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Another candidate joins the race for North Carolina governor, this time a Democrat. Former state Supreme Court Justice Mike Morgan threw his hat in the ring today. Up next, why he's challenging Josh Stein, the man with the current governor's endorsement.
Plus, new poverty data, an auto worker labor dispute, a possible government shutdown. We dig into the North Carolina impact of these national headlines.
Another candidate joins the 2024 race for North Carolina governor. Former state Supreme Court Justice Mike Morgan will take on Attorney General Josh Stein in the Democratic primary. Morgan announced his candidacy today. Morgan was the first sworn into the state Supreme Court in 2017. He stepped down last week, well before the end of his term. Now the New Bern native is vying for a spot in the governor's mansion. Justice Morgan joining us now in studio. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with this. Stein has Governor Cooper's endorsement. What separates you from Stein?
Well, I have the longevity of service, also very extensive service. I've been in state government for 44 years. 34 years of those have been on the judiciary, four different judgeships. So certainly in terms of that one-of-a-kind, very unique skill set never before seen in a gubernatorial candidate, I feel I've got the longevity, I've got the extensive experience, and I have what it takes overall to be the next governor of the state of North Carolina.
Okay. In your announcement today, I want to read you a quote from the announcement. You said you are disappointed by the growing trend, even in your own political party, of a few folks in power trying to select the people's leaders and determining our destinies. Who specifically are you speaking about when you said that?
Well, I'm speaking about those folks that would feel as though the people don't have a right to choose their own leaders. The fact is that you don't anoint leaders. Leaders themselves are chosen by the people. So the people would decide who they want to vote for and who they want to have as their leaders. And I'm presenting myself in that way to be their leader if they would have me for their governor.
So I guess if I could just press you on that a little bit further. You're saying that there are specific people at the top who are kind of puppeteering here?
Well, puppeteering may be a strong word, but I certainly will say there are those that are utilizing their influences to try to make sure that this primary season goes in a certain direction. And the fact is, the point of primaries is to let the folks decide who the most electable individual is going to be from that particular party. And it just so happens that for the Democrats, I'd be the best individual who would have the best chance of winning in November.
Okay. I want to get to some current affairs here. One of the issues that is plaguing a number of communities is youth crime. Fayetteville is currently considering a curfew for people 17 and under. That whole thing, they're saying, is an effort to curb youth crime. Do you support a curfew for teenagers 17 and under?
Well, I have to leave it to particular municipalities and towns to determine what is best for them. I respect town councils and city councils to know what they have going on locally, and therefore they can make the best determinations, coupled with law enforcement and those who specialize in understanding what it takes. So I think it's on a place-by-place basis, and if it fits their situation, then so be it.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Justice Morgan, for being here today.
It's an honor. Thank you so much.
WRAL reached out to Attorney General Josh Stein's office about his new rival in the primary race. Their statement reads in part, Josh Stein has a strong record of accomplishment fighting and delivering for the people of North Carolina as their Attorney General. Thousands of North Carolinians have already embraced his vision for a safer, stronger North Carolina, and we are building a campaign to win. It's also worth noting the Wake County GOP governor's debate is underway right now. Republican candidates are at McGregor Downs Country Club. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson declined the debate. The party says they are not streaming the debate online.
So, have you ever seen one of those alerts on your phone? You know, the national news headlines seem like a really big deal. Maybe it is a really big deal, but you aren't quite sure. What does it mean for you here in North Carolina? Well, don't worry. We're on it. That's what us local news people are for, right? Today, we're going to dig into three different national headlines and ask the question, what's it mean for NC? First up, This story from CNN. Poverty rate jumps in 2022 after end of enhanced child tax credit. So this is true. Rates are up, but only when we're talking about the supplemental poverty measure, or the SPM, which takes into consideration taxes and programs like child tax credits. They take those into account. But if we look at what they call the official poverty rate, the three-year average is 11.5% nationwide, which really hasn't moved that much. In North Carolina, the number is a bit higher at 13.5%. As for our SPM, the three-year average in our state is 10.3%, which again is above the national average. Next up, this one from the Washington Post. Auto workers plan pickets and pinch pennies as strike nears. About 140,000 members of the United Auto Workers Union trying to work out a deal right now with GM and Ford and Stellantis by this Thursday. So there is a deadline looming. There are many members of that union right here in North Carolina, in our state. GM, for instance, has a facility in Charlotte. Ford has one in Mebane. Together, the facilities account for a couple hundred North Carolinians involved in this very important dispute. The last one from CNBC. Congress returns with the clock ticking to avert government shutdown. So here we go again. Another deadline for lawmakers to fund the federal government or see things shut down. Not everybody would immediately notice a government shutdown, but those who do could see some real impacts. Here's what would happen here. National parks, for instance, would close. We're talking about the Blue Ridge Parkway, Cape Hatteras, National Seashore, the Wright Brothers Memorial, and so many more. A shutdown also means problems with a lot of services, things like food stamps and WIC and TAMF. During the last shutdown of 2018, the state health department had to hustle just to make sure that people didn't go hungry. So it is significant for everyone. Have you seen a national headline, something that you want us to connect the dots right back here to our lives in North Carolina? If so, email me at dan@wral.com. We want to hear your thoughts. Tell me what's on your mind and we'll go in depth.
Here's a big national headline with a local impact. Hurricane Lee churning closer to the Caribbean. It's not going to make landfall here, but a storm of this strength will affect the North Carolina coast. Officials at the Outer Banks are warning of possible overwash and rough surf because of the hurricane. Meteorologist Kat Campbell here now. You've been talking about this for quite some time, Kat, and you're also following some rain in our area.
Yes, and the rain that we're seeing in our area is all connected to that trough that helps to keep Lee away from North Carolina. So some good news there. We just have some rain out there this evening. There could be some thunderstorms a bit later tonight. You can see a little bit of rain still on the lens there on our North Hills camera. The bulk of the rain in North Raleigh, this is moving toward the northeast, so towards Wake Forest, Rollsville, some of the areas that have already seen some rain, and Durham still dealing with rain as well. A little bit of lightning up toward Hillsboro. The main event, though, is still pretty far to the west of the triangle at this point, though it is beginning to approach Roxboro. This line is only moving at about 20 to 25 miles per hour, so it's a slow moving line. We'll watch as it moves across the northern half of our viewing area, especially between about 8 p.m. and midnight. There's not as much activity on the south end of this line, so we'll watch to see if that's able to grow at all over the next couple of hours. You may run into some rain if you're headed out to run some errands tonight. We keep in that chance of storms through about midnight, and then even after midnight, I really wouldn't be surprised if we did see some rain. This particular run of Futurecast really not showing that. However, we're still going to have the cold front right overhead tonight and early in the day tomorrow. So with that, we are going to leave in the chance for rain. There's still some forcing along which a shower storm could pop up really at any time tomorrow until that cold front leaves later in the day. So at the bus stop, it's a small chance for rain. It's 30%. You can check in with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner before you leave the house. 71 at 8 a.m. by the time the kids are heading home. In the mid-80s tomorrow afternoon to upper 80s. And there's a slightly better chance of storms, mainly in our eastern counties. The cold front very slow to pass. It's getting hung up in the North Carolina mountains as it moves east. It'll do so very slowly, and with it over the eastern part of the state tomorrow, that's why there's a better chance of storms there. But behind the front, it is going to be absolutely beautiful for the end of the week. Thursday, 83 degrees, lower humidity and sunshine. Friday, We wake up to temperatures in the mid-50s. Maybe open up your windows. 79 is the high, full sunshine, and the air will be crisp. It's going to be even drier outside. Saturday, a little warmer during the afternoon, 84 the high. We're still going to be in the 50s in the morning. The air is still nice and dry. The low humidity sticks around for the weekend. We're keeping a close eye on the tropics. We have Hurricane Lee that is likely to make landfall closer to Nova Scotia this weekend. Hurricane Margot, not a threat to land. This is going to be the next one to watch. It's got an 80% chance of developing. Model plots are in better agreement than they were yesterday. We still have a long time to watch it. Most models showing it veering to the northwest, not posing a threat. It's still so far away that we're going to have to keep an eye on it a bit longer before we can rule out any concerns. Our 7-day forecast no longer has any 90s showing up. 87 is the high tomorrow. We fall into the upper 70s to mid 80s over the weekend. Our weekend highs in the mid 80s all around. Sunday, we could see some isolated storms return. So Saturday may be the better day for outdoor plans.
Good to know, Kat. Thank you.
Up next, a dog let out with the trash. If you can, what a horrible thing to do. But we have a nice update because he's getting a new home. Quickly, before the end of the newscast, we do have some breaking news. Let's send it into Julian Grace in the Live Center. Julian.
Dan, that breaking news is a school shooting in Louisiana. This is a live look right now at that school, St. Helena College there in Louisiana. We're told one student is dead and two students are in the hospital, and the shooter is currently in custody. This is a very fluid investigation. The moment we have more, you'll read all about it on WRL.com.
Okay, Julian, thank you so much. Of course, a tragic situation playing out there in Louisiana.
Yeah, and we will have more tonight at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL. Thank you for making WREL your choice for local news.
Again, back on Fox 50 at 10, WREL at 11. Until then, have a great night.
Watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.